Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Interesting day, September 14th. This is also the day that Francis Scott Key wrote the Star Spangled Banner. Now, one of the complaints about it is it was an English drinking song, the music, Akron in Heaven. It's also in, I think, D sharp, which is an unsingable key, very difficult. And that's why whenever you hear the soprano sing it, it sounds like she's been goosed. But also other interesting with related to music, in 1812, Napoleon entered Moscow, and then we have the, I never understood this, the Peter Tchaikovsky, who also studied law, wrote the 1812 Overture, and we always play it on the 4th of July. I don't know why. It has nothing to do with America, although Tchaikovsky did come to the United States, and I think he conducted the Boston Symphony premiering over here, one of his symphonies. And then General Scott, Winfield Scott, Old Fuss and Feathers, as he was called, in the Mexican War, he entered Mexico City and facilitated the end of the Mexican War and how we acquired all that property there, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas. And, of course, so we have those people, the brown fascists, who are talking reconquista, reconquest, which is baloney. And in the inventions, we have Mr. Stewart opened the first U.S. department store, and Mr. Anderson invented the typewriter ribbon. And then in banking, Bank of America, which was at one time the world's biggest bank, and then it was acquired by this Nations Bank and went through a lot of troubles, Nations Banks in North Carolina, A.P. Giannini, an Italian immigrant, married another Italian, Miss Cuneo. Now, Bank of America was very smart, Giannini was. During the San Francisco earthquake, he gathered up all his money and put it into a big cart. And that's how he preserved the assets. It wasn't Federal Deposit Insurance in those days. And then in 1917, and this affects still affecting Russia today, the provisional government was set up under Alexander Kerensky. 1938, we have the Graf Zeppelin's first major flight, and then later we had the Hindenburg. And then in 1948 in New York, that was groundbreaking for the United Nations, and there are a growing number of Americans who think that the UN should be removed out of New York City. I'll give you an interview later on, doing some editing of the George Christopher, San Francisco's last great, honest, ethical mayor, also a businessman. Founded Christopher Dairies and brought the Giants to San Francisco, and we were friends for many years. I asked him the question why the UN wasn't in San Francisco, and it's a very prosaic reason. We'll get into it another day when I have his interview. And today's Burt's, this is one of the most controversial women of all time. I didn't know that her mother was Catholic. Margaret Sanger was born today, and of course she's the Wicked Witch of the West, of the East, who friends with Hitler supposedly, and believed in eugenics and the sterilization of what was considered, or what her and her ilk considered, people, or groups of ethnic groups which would pollute the white race, quote unquote. And a very controversial woman. She was also a socialist, so that may explain the Adolf Hitler connection. And she did set up supposedly a clinic in Harlem to sterilize and abort black people. And among the supporters of this was the Abyssinian Baptist Church, which is Adam Clayton Powell's father was one of the founders or longtime pastors. His son was involved. And I think this Charles Rangel, controversial New York congressman, he's involved with that church. And then W.E. Du Bois, who wanted to bring blacks back to Italy, to Africa, although blacks did go to Italy when Hannibal, who was African, invaded through the boot there back in the Punic Wars in Carthage. And let's see, who else today? Oh, yeah, Jaboco Abanez now. In the 50s, the CIA was active down in South America trying to stop communism around the world, or that's what we saw at the time, and there was a threat, as we've seen with Stalin after World War II when he stomped all over Eastern Europe and tried to go into the West. Well, anyway, there was a leftist president of Guatemala, and of course United Fruit was very big down there. His name was Jacobo Arbenz, and so he was ousted with the aid of the CIA, and to humiliate him at the airport, he was stripped to his underwear and then put on a plane. He was lucky that he got out with his wife. And then Canadian history, they had the Battle of the Plains of Plains of Abraham in Quebec, and the French garrison there fought the British Army under General Wolfe. They were both killed as a result of that battle, and that changed, Canada changed hands. From the French territory, province, whatever, to English, and it became English Canada, and still is today, although the French, Quebec has a special status in Canada, but they call themselves the Blanc Nègre, the white niggers, and that's their expression, and it's always been, they have special rights up there, the dual languages, special Catholic schools, and what happened, the shame of the Catholic Church, they took the position, the Canadian Catholics, clergy took the position that the English merchants and bankers own your bodies, but we own your souls. And so the Canada supported the Catholic school system. That was one of the deals that they arrived at. And then today, very interesting, we have the Duke of Wellington, who won the Battle of Waterloo, and it was his last great battle. And he was known as the Sepoy General because he earned his spurs in India. And the youngest son of British nobility. The first son inherited the title, the second one usually went into the church, the third one into the military, and I don't know what happened to the other fourth or fifth, if there were any. There must have been a few. And then one of the most dramatic deaths of all time, Isadora Duncan, a free spirit. She was driving in the car with a long scarf. It got tangled under the wheels and strangled her. Now, what a way to go. And then Grace Kelly died today. And then of the events, let's see, an important medical event, and of course we're paying special attention to medical issues. 1956, the first prefrontal lobotomy took place, and then 1957, this one's, I have a connection through my school, boarding school, when we had some Hungarian youths who fled the Russian invasion of Hungary when the Hungarians had an uprising in 1956. And then in 1975, the first American Catholic was canonized as a Saint. Elizabeth Seton converted to Catholicism, started an order of nuns, and there are Seton hospitals around the country, very good hospitals. And then this is another thing I was differently connected to because I was in Australia when this happened. The KL-007 was shot down, and the U.S. House of Representatives, in a rare unanimous vote, even in war, there's been at least one opposition. Jeanette Rankin, the representative, I think, from Wyoming, voted. She was representative in World War I and World War II in the U.S. House of Representatives. Both times she voted against the wars. But this time there was a 413 to to nothing vote, condemning the Russians for their invasion of Hungary. The people are concerned about who's really behind Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and they're getting tired of it, of this politicization of sexual preference. And what people don't understand is that how is it that you have the people who have risen through the ranks and have become officers, served in the service, gotten out honorably, and now they're saying they're gay and they're gay in the service all the time? Well, the only other explanation is they behave themselves and kept their mouth shut, their sleeves down, their zippers up, and their underwear on. And we're getting tired of this, and this we have two cases which I'll get into, and there's a long history of homosexuals who are in the military and in the spy agencies who are treacherous. Goes back to the Dreyfus case and the Colonel Radel case in Australia, at the turn of the century, and we've had two recent cases here in our military, one in the Navy and one in the Army, of guys who were gay or homosexual and who have betrayed, have mishandled sensitive information or brought in cameras where they weren't supposed to be brought in, into areas, secure areas on ship. Now, the San Bruno PG&E gas line explosion, If I go back to history and in the Watts riots in 1965, when Pat Brown, who is the father of the current Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Jerry Brown, Pat Brown was governor, and his lieutenant governor was a guy named Glenn Anderson, who was a realtor, banker, and professional politician. When the riots erupted on a Thursday night, I think it was, or during the middle of the week, it was because it was instigated by the police stopping a black who was suspected of drunken driving. And a riot ensued. It was a long, hot summer. And what happened was Glenn Anderson was the acting governor, lieutenant governor. He failed to act promptly, even though the police chief of L.A., William Parker, whom I had relatives who worked in the department at the time, asked for help. And he dithered around. And it's on my YouTube site, Amicus Veritas YouTube. We've got Maldonado, who maybe is aware of that, or somebody told him. And what he did in the San Bruno gas line explosion was promptly come up here and or come down from Sacramento and take charge and start steering help promptly to the people who were homeless and the disaster in the area. So he must have learned the lesson from Glenn Anderson. And because of the Democrats' failure to act properly and competently at the Watts riot, they lost the 1966 election to Ronald Reagan and Robert Finch. So I guess Maldonado learned something from that. You got to be on top. The other thing is we are concerned that there's going to be absentee ballot vote fraud, and we'll get into that, what our experience has been, and how the Democrats could still turn this election around. And as Joseph Stalin said, it isn't the people who voted, it's who does the counting. And we've seen this happen before. So be aware of these things. So we're going to close out. I'm sorry that I screwed up on the 15 minutes. We'll be back Friday. Okay. And shame on me. It's been a really screwy day.
Hey, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Ready?
Gentlemen. Here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
Well, folks, the only qualified Republican who's willing to lose are those who the Tea Party is mad at. Anyway, watch the voting, the absentee ballots. You have access to who voted, and if they're legally registered voters and not voting multiple times, which has happened. So we'll be back Friday for the full hour. I'm sorry that was a screw-up. And this is Peter Paul Brazola. Thank you for listening, and we'll keep this episode up on the archives. Good night.